this is such a privilege. Thank you so much for coming to this session. And I would love if you could just go ahead and pull out some paper or a pen. We'll use it here in just a little bit, but it'll just save us wrestling later. So if you have a pen or paper, go ahead and pull that out. Go ahead and open up to Psalm 63. I have the scripture verses up here on slide, so if you don't have a Bible with you, you obviously can look up on the screen. I want to share something with you that's kind of piggybacking on what Aaron started his message on last night. Being satisfied in God. This passage of scripture has been life-changing for me. All of scripture is life-changing, but this particular passage has been instrumental in helping me to grow in a really specific way. So I would like to read this passage together. We're going to flip over to James 4 in just a few minutes, so we'll keep our fingers here, but I'd like to read this together before we open in prayer. Psalm 63, verse 1, the 3 says, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsts for thee. My flesh longs for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. And ladies, as we open up in prayer, I want to ask you to do something. I want to just have a time where you just bow your head. I'm going to bow my head. And I just want you to just take just a little bit to pray in your own heart. God, what do you have for me this afternoon? What do you want to work in me? And then at the end of it, if this truly is your heart, God, I will obey you. Whatever you say, God, I will do. And so I'd love us to bow our heads together. Let's just take a few seconds to individually pray in our heart that God would work in us, and then I'll open here. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you that it tells us who you are and what you do. Thank you that it shows us who we are and that we need you. And God, I pray that you would work in our heart today. Lord, would you use your word and plant it deep down? Help us to see that you satisfy more than all these things that we think will satisfy our heart. And God, I pray that you would help these girls to be honest before you and with themselves. If there is an area that they need to grow and to change, to repent, to turn away from, God, would you please help them to see that your love satisfies more than anything in this life. In Jesus' name, amen. Just like Aaron had mentioned yesterday, that we all long to be satisfied. And he mentioned a few words that would be a definition of satisfied: happy, fulfilled, blessed. And I think we would all understand that we like to be happy. I wish we could go around. I wish that we could, you know, all have a cup of coffee. So just imagine us having some nice coffee and we're all sitting in like a circular table. And I'd ask, what would make you happy? Maybe like Diet Coke makes you happy. I love strong coffee and tacos and Swedish fish, like she said. But maybe you really just like hanging out with friends, or you love your grandbabies, for those of you that have them. Or maybe you just really enjoy your job, or maybe some of you odd ones like school, or, you know, maybe there's just things that make you happy that maybe for others are like, well, that's, you know, fine for them. So we all enjoy things. We enjoy big things. We enjoy little things. And those things bring us satisfaction. They make us happy. My husband, Aaron, was speaking last night. He is hilarious. He loves beef jerky. And I don't know why he likes beef jerky, but whenever we're traveling on Saturday, we typically have a bag of beef jerky in the truck. And one particular, it was 2 weeks ago, he had gone to Walgreens and grabbed this huge bag of beef jerky. And our kids call it stink meat. Have you guys ever opened a bag of beef jerky and it just stinks? It smells so bad. And when he opens it in the truck, it's just like, oh. And so my kids are like, hey, Dad, can I have a piece of that stink meat? So we always have it in the truck. And he bought this bag. Forgot about it later on. He remembered late at night, he and Asher went to go gas up for our Saturday trip that morning. And so they grabbed the bag and started ripping into it. And he was like, oh man, this beef jerky is weird. And so when they got to a stoplight, he turned the overhead light on and was looking at the package. And, you know, said it was beef and said it was good for his joints and it was made in America. And then he got down to the very bottom and it said, beef jerky treat for adult dogs. And he was like, what? I just ate a dog treat. And so he was obviously not satisfied with the beef jerky that he had bought. So he was really satisfied when he brought it home. And he goes, Stephanie, this beef jerky is just really odd. Can you try it to see if you can figure out why it doesn't taste correct? So I took a bite of that dog treat, and he just got the greatest kick out of that. So obviously, he did not find satisfaction. And I think we all understand that sometimes we get things, and we're not satisfied. He obviously didn't get what he thought he was getting. But then we can be satisfied with big things. Like maybe there's a big thing in life, like finding a husband, or having a child, or knowing what the next step is in your future ministry, or what your job is going to look like after you graduate seniors. And so, you know, I don't know if you guys are getting the chance to watch the Olympics. I love the Olympics. And I always look at these people who have trained their entire, it's like their whole life is consumed with curling. Or, you know, like, how do you get into that? But anyway, people are involved in half pipe snowboarding or figure skating. It's like their whole life has been consumed. And the goal is to get the gold, right? Some people achieve that goal and they get the gold. Some of them fall down or make a mistake and they don't get. And the people who don't achieve gold are not satisfied because they didn't achieve. And then you have these people over here, you know, you read about like what Aaron was saying about Michael Phelps and Sean Wade and all these different people who finally, or whoever, whatever your goal is to achieve, they finally get what they want. And they're like, is this it? Is there something more? And so I really wanted to look at Psalm 63 because I think, ladies, we all want things. You know, we have little things like you probably don't want beef jerky, but you have little things. And you also have big things that we all have desires of. And so I want to give us two illustrations of a satisfied heart and an unsatisfied heart. In Psalm 63, this obviously the psalmist is giving us the example of what a satisfied heart looks like, but we're going to get to it eventually. The first part, the very first phrase, the verse one, gives us the picture of somebody who's thirsting to be satisfied. Let me just read it again. It says, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and a thirsty land where no water is. You see that he's seeking, he's thirsting, he's longing, he's parched. And you have this intense desire, you see, for him to quench his thirst, and nothing else seems to matter. And you know, just like Aaron had mentioned last night, we are all made to crave. We all are made to be filled by our Creator. What are things that we would want? Maybe there's, you know, those freshman 15 that you just are, you know, wanting to get rid of, or maybe you want to get promoted in your job where you work. Maybe if you're a mom, you really just want that nap time to just be uninterrupted so you could have just quiet. Maybe for those of you that have adult or college children, you just want them to obey God. Or maybe you just want that one person to approve of you or to just pay attention or to love you. And all these things are so good. Those are good desires. Those are right desires. But have you ever wanted something so bad that you were willing to sin in order to get it? I remember there was somebody who had asked me a question. I wanted them to approve of me and Aaron so bad. And he'd asked me a question, and I don't remember exactly what it was, but I lied. And it was like a straight-up lie. And I was so afraid because if I answered truthfully, I was afraid that he would think badly of me and Aaron, that I can't remember if I hadn't done something or whatever. And I lied. And I remember having to humble myself and go back to that person. And I'm like, why did I do that? Why did I lie? And you know what the root was? I just wanted them to approve of me and Aaron. So do we have examples of this in the Bible where we see people who wanted something so much that they were willing to sin in order to get it or to experience it or to acquire it? You know, I think of David. Immediately he comes to mind. He saw Bathsheba. He wanted her. He got her. And he had major problems. Jonah, what did he want? He just wanted his own way. He didn't want to tell the Ninevites that God would show them mercy. And so instead of obeying God, he just went the other way. Achan, here's this guy. God told the Israelites, do not take anything from the city. Do not take anything. It's devoted to destruction. Well, he saw some gold and apparel. I don't know what kind of clothes that guy saw, but he saw this robe and he took it and he stole it and then he buried it. I'm like, what are you going to do if you bury it? But he buried it and covered it up. And so he was willing to sin against God in order to have this gold and an article of clothing. Here you have the children of Israel. God was so kind and faithful to provide manna from heaven every day. God would show his faithfulness to his people by providing food in a desert. And yet it wasn't enough for them. It wasn't, God wasn't enough. His provision wasn't enough. And so they started to complain. So, well, we want meat. We want meat. And so finally they complained and really tested God. And God eventually judged them. So where does all this come from? Where does all this come from? Why? I mean, is this just like my problem? Is this just like the children of Israel's problem? And you know what, guys? It all goes back to Eve. Look in Genesis 3. You don't have to turn there. I'll just read it to you. It says Genesis 3, verse 6 says, "When the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate, and she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate." Eve was just like us, and we're just like her. You know, she saw something that looked really yummy, and I love to eat, so I'm like, okay, Eve, I'm with you on that one. Then she saw something that was beautiful. I mean, I like things that are pretty. She saw something that was really looked yummy to eat. She saw something that was gorgeous and beautiful, delightful to the eyes. And then she saw something that was going to enhance herself, that would maybe make her wise and understand. And so she was tempted in those three ways, and she decided that that fruit, those things that she thought would bring those things to her, was worth sinning over and rejecting the command that her God, her creator, had given to her. So I want to give us, this is just an introduction, but I really want to give us, the first part is the unsatisfied heart. So if you want to turn to James 4, you can keep your finger in Psalm 63. James 4 is going to give us the contrast to Psalm 63. We'll come back to that in just a minute. James 4, verses 1 through 3 says this: "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts?" That word doesn't mean sexual lust. It means strong desires. So when I read that word, that's how I want you to interpret it. "Even of your lusts that war in your members, ye lust or desire, and you have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet ye have not, because you ask not. And then you ask, and you receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts." Here, this picture is of somebody who, do you feel the tension? It's like lusts, the strong desires, and then there's all this verbiage of like warring and fighting and tension. It talks about you kill, and I don't think any of us have killed anybody in here, hopefully, but I think we could kill people with our words or, you know, in our mind. You have this tension, and he's talking about conflict. I think each of us would say we have conflict in our life. Maybe it's conflict with a person, a roommate, a teacher, a sibling, a family member, a friend, a boyfriend, a stranger. We have wars and fightings around us. But you know what? If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you have a war going on within you. Galatians 5, verse 17 says, "For the flesh lusteth," again, that word means to desire, "against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, that you cannot do the things that you would." And so if you're truly a follower of Jesus Christ, I think we would all understand that we want to do right, and yet we kind of want to do our own thing over here. We want to do what works best for us, or what's most comfortable for us, or what maybe helps us to achieve or move forward in certain areas. And so when we want something and we're willing to sin in order to get it, there is a desire that's out of order, inordinate, within our hearts to please ourselves. And you know what? The Bible very directly addresses this in Isaiah 53, verse 6, where it says, "All we like sheep have gone astray." God gives us the picture of comparing us like sheep. You know what sheep are? They're dumb. They want to do their own thing, because then it goes on to say, "We have turned everyone to his own way." You know what, ladies? We are all born like this. All of us. In Psalm 51, it says, "In sin did my mother conceive me." We are all prone to go our own way. Sin is when we just say, "You know what, God? I know that's what you want. I'd rather just go this way." And that's how we are like sheep. That's why they need a shepherd. We don't see cows with a shepherd, you know, a cow herder, maybe they help, but like a bear or a wolf or a tiger, they don't have shepherds or people who help them. But sheep need people to help them know we're not to go over the cliff or to protect them from a wolf. And here we have the picture of us wandering off to do our own thing. And you know what, ladies? I don't know you. I have no clue what your background is. You may have grown up in a Christian home. You may know tons of Bible verses from a Bible memory program you grew up going to. You probably know a lot of Bible from your Bible classes. But you know what, ladies? Maybe there are some of you today who have never turned from your own way and trusted in Jesus Christ. Because the rest of this verse says, because we go our own way, the Bible says the Lord has laid on him, Jesus, the iniquity of us all. Because we go our own way, ladies, we need Jesus to take our place. He became the sheep, the lamb that was slain for us. So we have a desire to go our own way because we want something. Sometimes we want something because we got it, and we just need to keep that feeling of fulfillment, so we want more. Some of us, we want something, and it always just seems right out of reach, you know? So this question that I had up on here as you walked in, what do you want? That's the question I want to ask you today. What do you want? My husband and I studied this passage of scripture probably about 5 years ago together as a couple. And we were just like, you know what? This is really good because it helps us to understand what we're wanting. And, or, you know, when we sin, there's something in our heart. You know, obviously like, oh, sorry, I got angry, Aaron, or sorry that I, you know, snapped at you, Ella. But really, there's something that's going on in my heart that's driving those behaviors or driving that reaction. So Aaron and I were like, you know what? This is a good question. Let's start using this with our parenting. I've got 4 kids, and they are not perfect. And they are really good at sinning, just like I am. And so we're like, you know, let's help the kids to understand that there's things in their heart they want when they sin. So we started to ask the question, what do you want? So I never had to teach my kids to say no. No. Like, they're really good at it. I'm like, wow, you guys are really good at it. So they know how to say no really good. I don't have to teach my little boy to, like, ball up his fist and, like, hit his sister. They just know how to do that. I don't know if you've ever been around young children. They're just really good at being selfish. So one of my kids, I mean, it was like a windup. He was like, whack, and he punched my daughter so hard. And if you ask a kid this question, why did you do that? You know what they do? They don't know. But this particular day, I was like, you know what? I'm going to ask that question. What did you want? So I said, Asher, what did you want when you punched Ella? And he goes, I just wanted that green sippy cup. What? He wanted the green sippy cup and you were willing to punch your sister? I was like, that is so dumb. That is so dumb. Like, what? Why does the color of the cup matter, you know? And I thought, how childish. That's so ridiculous. Well, then Aaron's like, so I was telling this to Aaron. I was like, I cannot believe he would do that. And he goes, well, what about you? What do you want? Like, what's something that you've really gotten angry about or something to help, you know, he's trying to help me identify what I wanted. Well, we had just gotten a bigger, we live in a fifth wheel trailer. Have you ever seen those white things on wheels that people pull behind a truck as you're going down the highway? Okay, that's my house. I have a house on wheels. So we had just gotten Dr. Pettit and Mrs. Pettit. We had just bought their new trailer. And in their trailer, they had a dishwasher. Now, my other one that was smaller did not. I was the dishwasher. So when we got this new trailer, I was like, this is amazing. You know, like, this will like, save me so much time. And just, it's wonderful. And one day, Asher had a fork. Now, I don't know if you've ever been around little boys, but it really doesn't take much for anything to become a sword. Like, a pickle could be a sword. You know, it's just, it doesn't matter. Well, that particular day, he had one of my forks, and he was just like, you know, poking the fork, and he wasn't poking any of the kids, thankfully, but he was just like, you know, acting like a pirate or something. And he started getting closer to the dishwasher, and I was just like, keeping my eye on him, you know. And he got closer and closer and closer to the dishwasher, and he got to where he was right in front of it, and he took that fork and he started like jamming it in the vent of my dishwasher, and I just snapped at him so hard and loud. I mean, I yelled at that kid, and I was so mad. But it wasn't because I was afraid he was gonna get hurt. That would probably be the good motherly thing to do, but I was like, that is my dishwasher, you're gonna break it. And it was like, I told Aaron, I was like, I could not believe how mad I got at him. over the stupid dishwasher. And Aaron goes, well, what did you, he was so kind, what did you want, Stephanie? And I was like, that is my convenience. You know, that saves me time. It makes my life easier. And so, you know, that question, what did I want? Obviously, I was angry, and I went and talked to my son and asked him to forgive me for sinning towards him. But you know what? When I ask myself the question, what do I want? It takes it from the hands to the heart. Ladies, we sin because we have a heart problem. We sin because we want to do our own thing. We think that something is going to satisfy us, and it doesn't. So what I want you to do today is I want you to grab your pen, and I want you to think of something that you did, maybe a sin. I just want you to, it doesn't have to be huge, like yelling at somebody. It could be external, maybe with your roommate this morning, maybe with a text conversation with a mom or a dad last night, maybe with a teacher or a boyfriend. Just think of a way that you have sinned. And I want to ask you the question, what did you want? We're not good at asking these kind of questions. It's easy for us to just say, oh, sorry, I got impatient with you. Oh, sorry, I inconvenienced you. I made you late or whatever. But we're not good about getting to the heart. What about you? What do you want? It gets to the point where it shows us from the first part that there's tension because we have things that we want. And it brings us to really idolatry. Anytime we worship or love anything other than God, we are committing idolatry. That's the first commandment. You know, when you learn the Ten Commandments in Sunday school, thou shalt have no other gods before me, you kind of think, oh, you know, that was for the children of Israel. That's not for me. I mean, I don't have little idols on a doily and candles and have to do this little ritual to bow down to this idol. That's like third world. You know, that's archaic Bible time. Is it? You know, we really believe that whatever it is that you want will really make us happy. So we place all of our thoughts, we place our emotions, our affections, our motives are all tied up around this thing right here. And you know what? It will always fail to deliver. Always. It will never bring you lasting satisfaction. And at the core of our idolatry, you know what? We just want to be the king of our life. I just want to rule my life. You're like, I do not want to rule the world. I don't want to be king. Well, maybe you don't want to rule the world. You just want to rule your world. And I remember talking to Liam one time. My six-year-old, he is pagan. He is not a believer. He does not love Jesus. And he had a royal temper tantrum. And I was like, son, you want to be God. You want to be the king of your life. He said, no, I don't. And I said, when I tell you no, and you're jumping up and down and like literally rolling around on the floor, you are showing that you want me to do what you want. And you know what? I think all of us want to be the king of our life when we trust in these things to bring us satisfaction and happiness. We want to be in control of our relationships. We want to dictate what people's responses are to us. Oh, how dare they treat me that way? Don't they know who I am? Don't they know what we've done for them? I want others to worship my opinion and what I want to do. And I think if you guys are honest, I think we all struggle with this. We want to be happy at other people's expense. Oh, sorry, that didn't work out for you, but this is what would make me most happy, would make me most fulfilled. And you know, at the end of the day, as we bring this out, it really brings us to the point where we realize, I'm really worshiping myself. I am my biggest idol. I love myself. Because I turn to my own way to find satisfaction. So the question is, what do you want? And who are you worshiping at that moment? Are you worshiping God? Are your desires out of order? Are they showing that you want to be God? Are you loving yourself? Are you really truly aligning your desires with God and loving Him most? So here, let's go to the next verse. And James 4, where it goes on to say, ye adulterers and adulteresses. Wow, I mean, this is really strong language that James is saying. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit that dwells in us lusteth to envy? Ladies, if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, if you have a relationship with God through the blood and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you have entered into a forever relationship with God. It has been bought with a great price. But instead of loving the God who has saved you, the God who has made you, the God who has redeemed you, you know what we do? It's like we have a love affair with ourselves. We commit spiritual adultery. You know what? God gives us an example of this in Hosea. I don't know if you know that story. Hosea was a prophet of God, and God told Hosea to go marry a prostitute. I mean, can you imagine what it would have been like for Hosea to go marry a prostitute and then to watch his wife go after other men? And you know what he would have to go do? He would have to go buy her back. And he would keep going back and back and back and back because he was showing a picture of what God does for us. God is jealous for your heart, ladies. He's jealous for your heart. He loves you. I have a wedding ring to symbolize my love commitment to my husband. And you know what? I think it would be right and good if I found out Aaron was flirting with somebody online or texting somebody or in a wrong relationship with somebody other than me. Would it be right for me as his wife to be jealous for his heart? Yes. God is jealous for your heart, ladies. We go after the lovers of these stupid, silly little things that I know they're big to us, but when we sin in order to get them, we are showing that we love ourselves, that we have misplaced the God who has loved us and saved us. It gives us the picture of not just that we are idolaters, not just that we're adulterers, but it shows us that we're worldly. Look here in verse 5 again, where it says, know ye not that the friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. You know, I don't know how you grew up. I grew up in a very conservative Christian home. I love my parents. I'm thankful for my upbringing. I loved my education that I got here at Bob Jones. But you know what? My idea of what worldliness is and or was mohawk, piercings, tattoos, goth look, you know, just grunge. And that's what I thought of was worldliness. And sure, you know what? Those are manifestations of worldliness. I understand that. What's worldliness? Worldliness is when we love the world. And even there, that's kind of nebulous because I'm like, well, yeah, the world, that's like alcohol and drugs and sex and rated R, triple X, you know, X movies, just like really bad stuff. That's worldliness. You know what worldliness is? Worldliness is when we love the things of this world more than the things that are going to last. And ladies, you know what? There is a whole lot of worldliness. And you know the things that are eternal? You know what they are? People and God's word. Those are the only two things that will last past this life. Here we are, we're like hamsters in a hamster wheel. We're just spinning our wheels, loving things that just won't last. Are you worldly? Do you love the things? I know I am. You know, when I started to really think about what worldliness really is, I'm like, God, please, I am so worldly. I find my satisfaction in a nap time. I get angry when my kids get up early. I get discontent because I can't fit into that size of clothes, and I get angry when my husband tells me to do something I don't want to do. Nothing in this world will satisfy you. Nothing. You know what? Food? I love to eat. I mean, I love to eat. When we go out to eat and we're like at a steakhouse or something, I always think it's funny when some girls are like, oh, I cannot eat a whole steak. I'm just so full. I'm like, I'll take yours then, because like I'll always finish my steak. Always finish it. And I'll eat all my kids' leftovers. I am like unashamedly, I love food. And I don't know if you guys have ever been to a really good restaurant or, you know, gotten a really good taco, gone to a taco stand or whatever your favorite food is. And you definitely eat till you're really full. And you're like, oh, that was so good. And you're kind of like needing to unbutton your pants just so you can breathe comfortably. Oh, and you're like, I don't think I could eat the rest of the day. But what happens? 4 or 5 hours later, you're like, am I seriously hungry again? Like, no. And so food won't satisfy. You know what? Relationships? Relationships won't satisfy, ladies. You know what? I love my husband so much, and I, sitting right where you are, I thought that a man would satisfy me. And you know what? Aaron is an awesome gift of the Lord. But he can't fully satisfy me. You know why? He's a sinner. He doesn't read my mind. Bless his heart. He can't read my mind. He doesn't get any sometimes. Or you know what? Not just that he doesn't read my mind. You know what he does? He sins. You know why? Because he's a sinner. People sin. They let us down. They disappoint us. They hurt us. If we place our satisfaction in grandbabies and a husband and people to love us and approve of us, you know what, ladies? You will always, always be disappointed. If I look to Aaron to make me happy, and he does, he is a great gift, but he can't fully satisfy me. Relationships won't satisfy. A position, a job, something that you could achieve, some type of merit that you could earn, it won't satisfy. A possession of some kind that you could acquire, it's going to break. They're going to come out with something new. You're going to lose it. Something's going to happen to it. Also, ladies, if we place our things, our desires and our heart, our satisfaction, our happiness, dependent on the things of this world, you will always, always be left wanting. You will always be wanting something more. Is there something more? Why am I still not happy? And you know what? I love the end, the very last phrase up there. And it says this, but he gives more grace. I don't know if at this point you're like, oh, this is so heavy, Stephanie. I sin all the time. Wow. I didn't realize I was an idolater. I didn't realize I was a spiritual adulterer against God. I didn't realize I was worldly. Wow, this is heavy. And you know what? I love that God comes in, and you know what he says? He gives grace to the humble. You know what that means? He gives grace to those who are repentant, that see they are that person. I am that person. You are that person. We have idols we have erected in our heart that we go after. And you know what? God gives grace to those that say, God, root this out. Forgive me. Repent. Be broken. Not just over the hands. You know what, later on in the passage, and I would love if you got a chance to at your own, on your time, it says, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts. Take it from the hands to the heart, that you will be broken, not just over what you do. I mean, we all sin, but are you broken over who you are? Are you broken over who you are? Are you? And then I love that God helps us, he gives grace to those who are honest. You know what? Can we just let the walls down? I know we're a Bob Jones. I know you don't have to air out all your dirty laundry. I understand that maybe it's not all appropriate for everybody to know stuff. But sometimes I think in this type of a situation, it's easy for us to be like, well, if I'm honest, then people will think lowly of me. People will think I'm not as spiritual as I want them to. All they'll think that I have issues. We all have issues. We all are a mess in need of God's grace. Why can't we just be honest? Be honest. God, give me grace. Help me to cleanse my hands and to purify my heart that I may walk and love you with a single-hearted devotion. So here you have the picture of an unsatisfied heart in James, but I want to bring us back to Psalm 63. Psalm 63 is the satisfied heart. So go ahead and flip back over. I've got it up on the screen as well. I remember Aaron telling me one time, Jesus is the only perpetual novelty You know what the word perpetual means? Always, constant. And novelty just means new. He is the only thing that will always satisfy. Let me read again the first couple verses of Psalm 63. I've underlined a few words that I'll get to and explain here in a second, but let's read all the way to verse 5. O God, you are my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus I will bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. Here you have a picture of a psalmist. He's just like us. He had desires just like we do, right? He was thirsty. He was longing for something to satisfy him, to quench that thirst that he had. He obviously had, he wanted to see God's power and his glory, and it seems like maybe he had seen it before, because it says, so as I have seen thee in sanctuary. But I really want to focus in on verse 3. This is where God has taken me over and over and over again. Verse 3 says, because thy loving kindness is better than what? What is God's love better than? Write it down. Three things. What is God better than? Write it down. What do you want? What do you want? What will make you happy? If I just had this, my life would be happy. If I could just do this, I would be satisfied. If this person would just love me. Write it down. What three things do you want? Now, I'm going to read the verse, and I just, in your mind, I want you to plug in one of those things, okay? Because thy loving kindness is better than, my lips shall praise thee. Now, I want us to say something. We're all going to read this verse together. And when we get to the word life, I want you to plug in one of the things you wrote down. There's no judging. I don't really care what you say. I just want you to be honest with God. Is God's love better to you than what you wrote down? All right, you ready? Psalm 63, verse 3 says this. Read it with me. Because thy loving kindness is better than obedient children. Say your thing. Better than obedient children. Good job. My lips shall praise thee. Do you believe that? Now, this isn't a Sunday school answer where you check yes or no. Do you believe it? Are you tired of being unfulfilled, discontent with looking for things of this world? And I'm not talking about all those big things, but ease, convenience, comfort, not being lonely, wanting to be included, wanting to feel loved. Are you, and those are not bad things, but when we're willing to sin and be discontent and angry and bitter because we aren't getting these things, do you really believe God's love is better than that? If you don't, your life is relegated to miserable life. You'll be left unhappy and unfulfilled. I love, if you see a change in verse 3 from verse 1 and 2, verse 3 is almost like the turning point for the psalmist. And I've underlined the words. I want you to look at them again. I'm going to read verse 4 to 5. It says this, thus I will bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. You see how he is satisfied? He is fulfilled. His thirst has been quenched after he has seen that God's love is better than life. He's found his satisfaction. So I want to explain what that word marrow and that phrase marrow and fatness is. I don't know if you've ever been around kids. I have four kids, and when they were little and they were just kind of starting to eat and growing teeth, or is that the right word, growing teeth? That sounds funny. But when their teeth were coming out, they were starting to eat salads, and I started to give them Cheerios. That was kind of like an easy thing for them to pick up and to, you know, kind of gum it. And I'm telling you, they would eat through a box of Cheerios. It seemed like they just would just eat and eat and eat and eat and eat. And it's funny how that's how we are. We're kind of satisfied with the Cheerios of this world. Cheerios are just so bland. They're not fulfilling. You have to eat a whole lot of them to make your belly fill up. And so we're willing to satisfy with the Cheerios over here, but God has given us rich, rich, yummy food, a filet mignon wrapped in bacon with a chocolate molten lava cake. Doesn't that sound delicious with a good cup of coffee? And you know what? After a meal like that, you're like, that was so delicious, right? Why would we have this over here and yet settle for this over here? Why would we want Cheerios when we can have steak? But we do over and over and over because we don't believe that Jesus is enough. We don't believe his love will satisfy us. Can I please piggyback on what Aaron said? If you don't read the Bible, you won't believe he's enough. I'm not going to ask if you read your Bible this morning. Did you? I'm actually going to. Did you read your Bible this morning? You don't have to raise your hand, though. Did you read your Bible this morning? Do you feel like you need to read your Bible? You won't believe that God is enough for you if you don't know who he is. Read the Word. From cover to cover, it tells us that he loved us, that he sent his son Jesus Christ to die so that we could be filled, not just here, but for eternity. Jesus came to save us so that we could be fully satisfied here and forever. You know what, ladies? That is what I want to leave with you today. Jesus is better. He's better than a boyfriend. He's better than a husband. He's better than a successful ministry. He's better than that number on your scale. He's better than feeling included. He is better. Jesus is better. I want to encourage you with something. We're going to close with a song in just a minute, but I just want to encourage you with something. This has been such a sweet week. Don't pack up. Just leave your stuff there. This has been such a sweet week. I haven't been able to sit in the sessions because I have a few, but it's been so neat to see how God is working in you. Would you be willing to share, not now, but would you be willing to share what God is doing with somebody else? Let's stir each other up to love and good works. Let's share, even tonight in your prayer group or at lunch or dinner, or if you're getting with friends, what is God doing in you? What do you want? Let's be willing to be honest before God. Let's be willing to be honest with each other. Being willing to tell your friend, I'm struggling wanting this. I've been sinning in this because I want this. Let's ask God to do a great work in us.